Like if you're building a house, you have to set the ground first, put the cement, you know, logs and so on, the structure, etc. That's what ISO is to me. The challenge is not going to be money. The challenge is not your process. The challenge is not the business itself. The challenge is always going to be the people. So if you're compliance, security, or starting off a business, the first tool is yourself, right? Because without it, nothing runs. Don't even be scared and leverage what you have. Probably the most important thing is never think you're secure. The whole purpose of these, and even to stakeholders, that if we do ISO SOC 2, any type of framework, we invest in security, we're secure like a castle you can never penetrate. And that's the worst thing you can do because it rids you of the mindset of security.
Welcome to Secure Access with John Dillard, your front door to the future of compliance, security, and tech. Powered by Sinon Solutions, we bring you bold conversations with industry leaders who are shaping how organizations protect people, data, and spaces. If you're serious about smarter, safer access, you're in the right place. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Secure Access Podcast. I'm John Dillard. I'll be your host for the next 45 minutes or so while we dig into topics around SOC 2 and ISO compliance standards, which I think is near and dear to the hearts of many people in our audience. For those of you who haven't met me before, I'm John Dillard. I'm a security and compliance advisor working with Sinon Solutions. I founded a couple of security-related companies, including one company that is now part of Sinon Solutions. My background is mostly in defense and intelligence, forensic accounting, and have really spent my career trying to help companies figure out how to solve security and compliance problems with technology. And Sinon Solutions, for those of you who are not yet familiar with us, Sinon Solutions is a next-generation visitor management platform that helps organizations of all sizes reduce risk, optimize employee engagement, and uncover opportunities in their businesses. So with that, I'm super excited to welcome Jason Mordano to the podcast. I've gotten to know Jason over the last couple of years as just an incredible talent in the field of security compliance. He is the director of Sinon Solutions program, and he specializes at Sinon at building and maintaining a robust security compliance framework. And I can speak from personal experience that Jason is just world-class in this. He's better just about than anybody that I've worked with directly who's running a compliance program. And he's built trust inside his team and with customers on these issues for very good reasons. But with no further waiting, I want to introduce Jason. Thank you for joining us, Jason. And let's jump in, Jason, to the very first question that I always like to ask guests, and is how in the world did you end up in this? What got you started in compliance? Many people end up in this field accidentally, so I'm curious what your story is and how you ended up here.
Yeah, and John, thanks for an introduction. But quick introduction, I was actually in 3D animation, nothing to do with compliance. And 3D animation is interestingly enough, a set of processes, angles, and a lot of creative flair. Over the years, I somehow ended up in sales and compliance, and that led me to my current field, legal and compliance, where I also do have a law background. And ironically enough, it's fairly similar if you look at the rules and processes around it. You know, rules and processes for creativity also applies to this field.
That's fascinating. I love the idea that you could tie compliance to creativity. I haven't heard that answer very often, but it seems like maybe that's your secret sauce, which is great. In that vein, I mean, obviously you got into this for a reason. What gets you out of bed on security and compliance? I mean, what are you most passionate about in this field?
Yeah, and again, I'm going to give like an anti-answer because typically compliance folks, the rest of us are just boring rule setters. Essentially, what gets me in the morning is that, do we have the ability for the program that I have implemented to continue going without me? Because the concept that I have is that once we have a program in place, it's going to function without me and, you know, with far efficiency and efforts. And that's what gets me up. It's like, is my program working, right? Not the software, meaning the entire process.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I've seen you do it. I have never in my life seen anybody get so excited about compliance as Jason. So he is telling the truth when he says he's passionate about it. And I have seen it firsthand. So you've got something that a lot of people don't have, which is amazing. I want to dig in, Jason, to some substance on compliance framework specifically. I think most people who are listening to this, certainly most of our customers and most of the programs they have to run, they tend to gravitate toward a couple of programs. One is SOC 2 and the others ISO standards. Those are the ones that most people, I mean, there are certainly others, but those are the ones that we seem to talk about the most in terms of frequency and also just headaches that customers have in terms of implementing these programs in their companies. And I was wondering if you could give the audience a quick overview of what those two frameworks are and what the differences and similarities are and just your take on how people should understand what they are and the basics of how they work.
That's a great question. And I'll simplify this and I'll use a good example. Let's say we're building a brand new company. We're bootstrapping it up. The first question you need to be asking if you're in a cloud security space is that, should I be basically, what should I start with? So I'll start with that. ISO 27001 is an accreditation framework. It's a set of guidance and practices on how you should implement security. I wouldn't say it's easier. It's more manageable and comprehensive and understandable. You can scale up to it. So once you build those controls around security, availability, your integrity, your incident response, how you do your onboard, offboard, and also how you manage your day-to-day security, especially least privilege. The SOC 2 is a different principle. ISO is built on like a framework management system, and so is SOC 2, but SOC 2 is different. It does not award you certification. It does not provide you like a stamp. What it does is it pulls CPA, AI CPA auditors, and they check your controls. So the difference there is, again, ISO is about your framework system as guidance to implement for your cloud SaaS or your security. And SOC 2 goes further. It checks for point-in-time transactional controls. It's testing the efficacy, right, of your control system. Now, SOC 2 in itself, it seems like, well, you're just getting another auditor to check another auditor. And that's the intent of it, is that in simplification, are the controls being attested by an external party to the point that there's reasonable assurance? ISO does that, but SOC 2 takes it a step further. The reason came about is that, and again, in simplifying it, the origin of SOC 2 and its intent is that a company trying to purchase another company is not going to commit resource to the point they're going to visit the office, et cetera. They want it to be externally attested, right? But by doing so, that's the standard. Well, ISO was built by the British, from my recall, and then it's talked to us by the Americans. How far can you verify it? And I'll keep the difference between that is that ISO, you set it up, so you have a framework. SOC 2 is to further test your controls. That's as simple as I could put it, and hopefully that helps.
Yeah, that does. That's very helpful. Having been through a little bit of both, that I wish somebody had told me that back in the beginning, the first time I did this stuff. Across those two, another follow-up that I have on SOC 2 and ISO, a lot of companies are out there thinking, well, I've already done one, or maybe I'd like to do both, but I want to start with one. And the thing that they're thinking about is, what percentage of the controls apply to both? Am I actually going to get a lot of lift from both of these things, such that adding the second one's not that bad? So what's your take on the control overlap? I mean, if you've got a lot of the controls in place for either SOC 2 or ISO, are you most of the way there on the other one, aside from obviously the audit process, but are the security controls themselves fairly overlapping, or are they pretty different?
That's a really good question. So without getting into the customization, I would always recommend to start with ISO first, because it puts you in a frame mindset. SOC 2 makes that far more comprehensive. But the overlapping controls, if we're just talking with the security criteria in SOC 2, you hit almost 75%. If you do ISO, you've already hit 75% of SOC 2. Now, SOC 2 asks other criteria, right? Like availability, integrity, processing, and privacy. Once you start adding those, you've already met ISO, in my opinion. You're just adding more controls. So if you do ISO first, you've hit 75% of SOC 2, and then you add further controls. Now, a good question would be, what if you start with SOC 2 first? Then you've hit 75% of ISO. So now you have to build your information security team. That's why I recommend it first, because it's your building block. Like if you're building a house, you have to set the ground first, put the cement, you know, logs and so on, the structure, et cetera. That's what ISO is to me. But again, 75% is the benchmark. Now you could even hit that 100% depending on your business, right? So if your business is a very niche type, you probably already hit 100. Now, if you have multiple product lines and far more complex, you're probably at 50%. That doesn't mean you have more work to do trying to prove it. It's more so you now have to scope your own use case.
Perfect. That's super helpful. I mean, that's the kind of thing I think is really meaty for folks, that they now have a sense of which one they might want to start with. Well, getting a little bit more into the weeds on these two things, I guess one thing that I would be curious to hear your take on is really what makes these things hard. I mean, obviously a lot of things, but among the many worries that a company might have as they're pursuing one or the other or both, what would you highlight as the big things that just are the challenging things that companies struggle with the most when they're undertaking either SOC 2 or ISO or both?
I can give the objective answer. It's vanilla, but I'm going to give my personal opinion on it, because I've seen in every company I've worked with, the challenge is not going to be money. The challenge is not your process. The challenge is not the business itself. the challenge is always going to be the people. There's a reason why I have ISO and SOC too, right? If we're robots, we won't have much problems. We'll follow a set of processes, ones and zeros, right? But why I mentioned people is that if you're starting, again, in our hypothetical example, you're first starting with, you know, a company, security is important. So if your leadership and people are not bought in, that is the more difficult process. This is more of a compliment to you. When you build the company ThreatSwitch, which has now become Signing Compliance and now it's part of Sign Solutions, why that was easy is because the security mindset. Security mindset is thinking, how would we do this? What if we're the attacker? What if nothing is secure? We're going to get breached. We don't have least privilege. We must be proactive, not reactive. If you start your security from that beginning, you don't have a challenge. Because the next challenge you're probably going to think of, how do we raise funding, money? How is this going to work? Surprisingly, those are minor. Because if you have a security mindset, everything will click in. And I know, like, depending on which business unit, your CFO, who you're talking to, they're going to always going to talk about the cost. But if you talk about cost, process, etc., you're going to fall in line to what I call a tick box. Because this is going to become a tick box. A security mindset is not a tick box. It's almost as if you are in a driver's seat, you know, and you're looking at the entire road. But if you're looking at it from a cost perspective, you're only looking at a part of the engine, a part of the wheel. I know it's not really the best example, but do a security mindset. You're going to clear your challenge. Because if you approach it from financial or other types of perspective, you will be challenged in going back and forth and implementing the right controls. And that's a tough part. Security mindset, you do it right, like ThreatSwitch, everything's easy. You proceed as if you're doing a tick box, you're going to pay what I call security debt, where you have to go back, fix things that should have, if you just did it right in the beginning, you wouldn't have had to go back.
One of the best pieces of advice I ever heard from Yannick Korf, who was one of the founders of Mandiant and now with a company called Expel, he persuaded me because he was one of my board members. Look, do this now while you're three people, before you even really have a product. Go ahead and figure this out because the complexity will get much worse over time and you're going to want to cut corners if you try to start too late. You're spot on, I think, from my experience in terms of having the mindset from day one. And then it becomes easy to maintain if you kind of start with that in mind. So that's fantastic. In that vein of what makes this hard, there are a lot of folks that I've talked to that they're frustrated by how complex it can be and they think a tool is going to be the silver bullet for them. And I just wanted to get your take on tools that, you know, what the role of tools are in terms of control management for SOC 2 and ISO. Are they important? Are they not important? When are they important? Are they in fact a silver bullet? What is your take on this stuff?
In this day and age, to track multiple types of regulations, frameworks, and whatever your compliance posture would be, you're going to need that. But I think before we get lost in the sauce, you would have to take a first step back into why you're even in the field. So if you're a compliance, security, or you know, starting off a business, the first tool is yourself, right? Because without it, nothing runs. Don't even be scared and leverage what you have. You'll be very surprised. So if you have Google Workspace, Office 365, start with Excel sheets or just worksheets, right? Then start with Word docs to create your policies. You can even use ChatGPT or those AI tools. But the best place to gather data is, if I had known this when I started, it would have made my life easier. You can go to Cloud Security Alliance, go to their page. They have a CCM matrix. It's an Excel sheet that pulls different frameworks and lets you understand how each controls work. So it goes from ISO 27001 to SOC 2 to NIST 853, FedRAMP, Moderate, and it goes into PCI DSS. You don't need to learn all of that. You just need to pick certain controls that matters to you and your company, right? And on that side, when I say Google search, honestly, just Google search the questions that you have, or even with ChatGPT, any toolings that you have. Tools are there to assist you, not replace it. Now, once you have a program in place for yourself, you can use different types of tools. There are something called GRC tools. Now, they help you consolidate all the frameworks on a continuous live basis. We use Drata. We're a big partner of them, and they cross maps our frameworks. Now, you don't even have to use Drata. You can use other different types. There are many out there. My point is, I just gave you two processes. You could use Cloud Security Alliance manually. They have an Excel sheet. You could use a GRC tool like Drata. And then keep in mind, you are part of that tooling process. You must also continuously learn. So when I said Google search and ChatGPT, that's because throughout this process, you're also learning. You are going to figure out, and then this is where I'm going to use the word creative, you'll figure out creatively how it works for you in your company. There's no rules to set of processes that you must follow to be successful. It depends specifically on your use case. Your secure posture started at the very top, right? Because of your contracts, your work with, and the security space. So your controls are niche to that stage. But you may have, say, a marketing company that have controls just around personal data. They may not need elevated privileges to the point that you had, right? A marketing company would just need to understand consent. And you could build around that. First and foremost, be confident that you stepping into this is part of the tool. There are a lot of manual tools out there. And while you're doing that, you're learning. And then once you're ready, you reach out to your GRC tool. Far more important than this, another tool that nobody talks about, this is why I mentioned creatively, is when we're talking about tooling, you're probably thinking software, count people as tools. I know it's kind of like people as part of a tool set, they are. A key part of compliance and security is always ensure your finance team understands your needs and how it translates as a return on investment value to the company. Because the last thing you want is getting too lost in the sauce about how you should protect assets, which regulation to deal with, and then it's not going to come across to the rest of the business as important. So you also have to be relevant. I think where I'm getting at is your communication tool needs to be simplified to the audience. And it's tough, but you're going to have to learn that. Sometimes I can get technical in front of the CEO and he's probably thinking about golf. So I have to like switch back. But the point is communication is very important. That's another tool.
Excellent. Well, and a quick follow-up on that, just because you got me thinking about sign-in and specifically the situation that you face every day in your company and the program that you have to run. I mean, you've got Sign Solutions is this very diverse, robust application that serves everything from small companies up to the largest companies on planet Earth. And it also includes things that in some cases are kiosk and device-driven visitor management tools, very sensitive data like what my product contributed to the mix about companies and their people, and a little bit of everything in between. And I just want to hear your thoughts on what it's like and what the considerations are when you have such, a robust enterprise and mass market software solution that has a lot of different important pieces. How do you manage all of that in a global organization? What is unique about that scenario for our customers that are also very big, very complex, and have diverse products?
Again, I'm going to answer from a personal opinion because I think it's far more relevant for whomever is watching this to understand what others are thinking of. My opinion is when you are pulling different companies together who have a set ways and processes that work for them, is that once you put them in a global village, you need to reframe what basics are. So in basics, you have to start with your basics again. It's if you have, let's say, an example, you have seven products, they have seven different ISOs and SOC 2. Again, those are not the same for every company. They're customized. You now have to redo your basics. How do you do data breaches? How do you do access management? Your onboard, offboard? How do you deal with expense reports? You have to start your basics because if you presume everybody has some sort of security framework and you just proceed with that, one company's security onboarding process could just be true like a messaging system. Another one could have a ticketing system. And then the intent of a business when you put them all together is they'll presume you can just consolidate as the same thing. And that's when it all falls apart. Because let's say you do a SOC 2 audit on seven different businesses. The first thing they're going to do is they're going to pick probably the most intense one, which has ticketing. But what if one business is just doing it through messaging system and does not have the rest of the verification process? Then you're immediately offside. So again, the advice I would give there personally is that revamp your basics, start fresh, and relook at what you have. Keep what's best when working for everybody while maintaining the culture, and remove what's redundant. The whole point when you bring everybody together in a global village is the intent idea, just like the United Nations, is hopefully we can have the best practice and intent and we rid away of what didn't work. But again, look at the basics. And I always say that because basics could just be like just locking your screen. But what is locking your screen versus another company that was acquired? That could just mean walking away from your desk. Again, the interpretation can be very wild, but if you focus on your foundations and basics, again, John, this is a compliment to ThreatSwitch. ThreatSwitch has been zero problems in part of our process because It's a model, meaning if you've started with security mindset in the beginning, it can flex with the rest, but it's very flexible. Now, let's say that we acquire a company. It doesn't have all those. Then we can scale it up. But scaling has another problem, right? So you would look at that. If you do your foundations and basics, again, I'm being repetitive about it, because you really have to think about that. It sounds simple because that sounds so easy. It's not. When you put seven different companies, you have seven different processes.
Got it. Excellent. Thank you. Appreciate that. And by the way, just for the audience, for those of you who have not heard of the word threat switch before, that's Cyanon Compliance, for those of you who are in the compliance suite of products that you may be familiar with Cyanon Solutions. Awesome. So the other thing I wanted to hear from you, Jason, and obviously you've talked about a lot of strong fundamentals here. You've explained to us what makes some of these things difficult. What do companies miss? Like, what are the things that, you know, just in the routine of standing up and executing a program around these two frameworks, what do you think companies probably just whiff on most often? Things that catch them off guard, the mistakes you wouldn't necessarily think they would make, but they make.
Communication. That's probably the most offside answer I can give, but communication. So let's say one team is not communicating with another, or they believe they do. Then you know what that causes, called presumption. Presumption is the most dangerous thing in compliance and security, right? Because compliance, the notion is trust, verify, and security is a set of repeatable processes, right? But if there's a miscommunication or a communication that is believed to be intended to be working, but based on presumptions, that's a silent killer of any type of compliance and security program. The reason for that is, let's say the process HR with, you know, onboarding an employee, they've done their background check, we'll presume that's working. But that's the problem right there is, hey, I had a meeting with the HR team. I think it's working great. I had a meeting with IT. I think we'll get the laptop tomorrow. You see where presumption kills? A biggest tip I got in terms of like the mergers and acquisitions is actually from our head of product, oversharing, where appropriately you can, because sometimes those little details can get lost and different translations. And the big part is, until you've introduced fluidity between colleagues, communication is going to be something that needs to be worked on heavily, almost on a constant basis. So that's my tip on that. Communication is what slips out of everyone, because there's a presumption we're all in the same space, but we're not.
So yeah, I love that. I absolutely love your response there, because I'm sure that when I ask that question, there are a lot of folks out there, they probably are thinking it's some specific control that they're missing, or there's some specific tool, or is there some specific hack, or there's something in the process of the audit that they're missing. And I think what I hear you saying here is that it's not any of those things. It's about good business fundamentals of being a really good communicator in the process of doing a really hard thing, which applies not just to compliance, but to all sorts of stuff. But it's spot on. I love it. Excellent. Another thing that I think a lot of people want to know, these frameworks change, and the way they're implemented, the way they're audited changes all the time. Obviously, security, the range of threats is different every year. Adversaries get more sophisticated, so the compliance frameworks have to get more sophisticated to deal with those more sophisticated threats. What are the trends that you're seeing, especially around SOC 2 and ISO, that people need to know about? What are the big things that you see happening in the marketplace, and how that affects people who are trying to run compliance programs?
Probably the most important thing is never think you're secure, right? The whole purpose of these, and even to stakeholders, that if we do ISO, SOC 2, any type of framework, we invest in security, we're secure like a castle you can never penetrate. And that's the worst thing you can do, because it rids you of the mindset of security. When I say security mindset, it's important to understand that you are never secure. You can never be fully secure. You must assume you will be breached at any point in period. You will assume that as a knight in armor, you have weak points and you need to know where those are. You also have to be proactive. You got to think beyond the technology of what you've implemented, right? It's not transactional. You have to think, again, security mindset in all the principles I've just set. Once you think that way, then you can call the trend as an emerging landscape, because that emerging threat landscape is going to keep continuing. It's going to impress you and amaze you. You'll see on the news, AI, you know, AI could do this. You could start hunting things. But ultimately, the biggest trend, and it's the simplest thing, one is credentials. So you have AI, you have different ways of attacking it, but credentials is any company's weak point. Another one is incident response. So people aren't thinking essentially that, yeah, we're secure, we have all these. I'm like, what happens when there's an incident? So I'm sure you have annual incident response training, but you need to tease out those scenarios. Like you in your SOC 2, you can have an annual collection point, but I would suggest quarterly. I mean, if you want to be attested quarterly in SOC 2, that's amazing. But annual is enough, and practice it quarterly. Because I kid you not, an incident response is not like a document referred to. Like if there's a hurricane, a server goes down, or there's just a vulnerability management issue that needs to be triaged and fixed. You need to also practice that. A third trend that is easy is the presumption that your data is secure in the cloud. Assume to be breached and make it difficult for your data to be accessed. And the difficulty is in layers. Implement access, role-based access, different types of privileges, expiries, and so on. A lot of access reviews. And again, what I'm just saying is like, that doesn't sound like a trend. It is. Because everything you see all out there are based on those principles. Hackers or adversaries are lazy. And when they're lazy, they're smart. And when they're smart, they know what the problem is. A good example is I can always get access if I find you at the bar and, you know, get you a couple of drinks and knock you in the back alley. But if that person you knock in the back alley only had access to a certain point, and you're not going to get access to arrest. But again, when I'm doing building blocks here, focus on your basics, keep your security mindset, because the world will always change. And the first reaction that you're going to have is remain calm, understand that you are the guardian of the company you're working at, and the threat will always change. But the threat is easy to manage if you do your basics and foundations.
Excellent. And in terms of the auditing process and the number of frameworks that you're having to cope with on a regular basis, I mean, obviously we're talking about SOC 2 and ISO primarily here. However, you know, the varying levels of scrutiny on things like CMMC are rolling out this year. You have new frameworks that address privacy. You have state laws. What are your thoughts on just the complexity of the environment? Where are we headed, you know, in the compliance business? For those of you who are in your job who have to manage these programs, you have state, federal laws, international standards, third-party frameworks, and it seems like there's a new one every 6 weeks. That's how it lands on me. I'm curious what your thoughts are on that and if it's ever going to end and how you cope with it.
This is my own observation. Others will have different opinions, but what I'm seeing trending in Europe and how they're actually applying it is they're moving towards a security mindset, right? A lot of their contractual clauses, the new regulation that came out in Europe, they're more towards implementing material security. So in a way, they started with EU GDPR on privacy first, and then now they want to enforce it. The US is very interesting, okay, because it's a different type of market. They will address an issue if it means money. And I'm going to just be honest with that. The US focused on security first. They put all their money into security, and I'm not saying the US is bad. There's less emphasis on privacy. The regulations or laws that are coming out in the US are privacy-centric. And when the U.S. innovates, they innovate. So they start with security first. That makes it very intense because now the U.S. is going to look at the best practice. That's what SOC 2 is about. Again, this is my own personal opinion and things. Others will differ. But the trends will change. There's new rules and processes. And the first person in compliance will obviously think, how do I keep up? You don't. Don't ever think that you're going to keep up with every single one of them. Because when I said security basics, you're considering personal information already, right? When in Europe, they're like, hey, how's your security good? I'm like, you already did that. So again, if you have a good building block, you can iterate, you can add more. In UK, there's something called Cyber Essentials. It's a self-attestation process that is verified by the UK. And it's very similar. It follows the principles of ISO and SOC 2. So if you either have one of those, you would meet that. Michigan just passed their state law on privacy. And it's literally just reinforcing how you would look around your least privilege, how you're differentiating data. So it's nothing new. A more intense one is the Chinese law if you deal business in China, because they have extra territorial, they have extra jurisdictional reach, just like EU GDPR. But theirs is vague, meaning it's the type of data that is revolved around a Chinese citizen. Now, how do you prove that? That is something more material to me rather than being overwhelmed by all the regulations. Because what are regulations for? Regulations are coming up and popping up in different jurisdictions, countries, or different industries, but they're enforcing the same key thing to me. It's your foundational blocks. You can have completely something different. You can have something around like corruption, AML, but those are far more different and more relevant to your use case industry. But again, best advice is just don't fret. This is easy. And again, my best friend is Google search. Like if I don't know, I'm not going to know every, there's hundreds of them. We deal with them every day. I search, what is this acronym for? Then I'm like, oh wait, this is about privacy. Okay.
Look, I made half of my career off doing that. Yeah. That's my favorite thing to do is to try to figure out what people are saying in meetings.
Yeah. And it turns out you're talking about the same thing. Like they're probably like, well, do you run FIPS 140-2? I'm like, I don't know what that is. I Google search, oh, around encryption. Okay, we have encryption. What exactly are you asking? And a popular one, I don't know why, but I hear this often. Do you have KMS? And I'm like, yeah, key management system? I'm like, you're talking about Amazon? I'm like, yes, it's cloud. Well, how would we ensure the keys aren't being transferred globally? I'm like, you can't. That's the whole purpose of the keys. Don't be overwhelmed. Just say you don't know. Let me look at it. That will be more respect than you just trying to put on a front.
That's why we're here. It's perfect. Thank you so much for that. Well, we're just about out of time, and I wanted to give you a chance to just share your final thoughts on this topic with everybody who's listening based on what we've talked about today and what you would leave them with as they go back into the wild, having listened to this podcast. What are the key things that you want to make sure they remember?
Believe in yourself. I know it sounds very Hallmark postcard lame, but it is because you will be overwhelmed. If you're a security person, a compliance person, you're probably thinking, oh my gosh, the budget, how do I handle all these threats? People are not understanding. Again, keep yourself grounded because you are the foundation of the security mindset in the company. If you falter, the company falters, right? Sometimes I freak out over little things, but if you're doing that, that means you are watching over your company. But the next thing you have to understand is take a deep breath and look at the security mindset. Is it working in the company? And then go towards your other problems because perhaps there's a false positive. First thing I did early in my career is freak out. Oh my goodness, who do I talk to? We got to call incident response plan, BCP, everything. Right now, like years later, I'm like, all right, something happened. Like, grab coffee. And I'll take a couple of deep breaths, enjoy the sunshine. Let's look at what it is. Now, security mindset is like, okay, we presume we probably got breached. We probably did. Now, do we have an incident response? We do. Do I have the individuals I should talk to? Great. Now, let's look at the issue. And I'm giving only one example, right? It could be anything. There could probably be a privacy issue around personal data. There could just be an understanding of how things are being expensed. But again, if you look at your compliance foundation, what are your pillars, right? The pillars would be your policies, right? And how are you governing those policies and how are those controls implemented? How are you checking them? I mean, that's how I would, I'm obviously missing a lot of steps, but I would base compliance audits, right? And most importantly, think proactive, never lose that touch. Even if it feels like sometimes the world is against you, you are in security. The world is against you. That's the whole reason you're here is that you got to be the shining beacon and light for your company. And it's tough because the last bit of advice I could give is always prepare for the worst, right? Because you can never be ready for anything and you need to be very fluid. So
awesome. Well, thank you for that reassurance. I feel better. Hopefully everybody else does too. I'm 100% smarter than I was when I showed up today on what you discussed. So I hope everybody got as much out of this session as I certainly did. And for those of you who are following along, we have a QR code on the screen that you can click to download this episode, rewatch it, and also a place where you can find out a little bit more about Sonnet Solutions and what we do for our customers. So I'd encourage you to check that out. We are producing a lot of content like this. So if you like what you see and hear, you can peruse more content on the website. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Jason, for participating and for your insights today. And I hope everybody has a wonderful holiday season.
And thanks for having me out here also. Appreciate it all.
Thanks for joining us on Secure Access, brought to you by Sonnet Solutions. If you found today's conversation insightful, be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your network. For more on transforming compliance, security, and workplace experiences, visit signinsolutions.com. Until next time, stay secure, stay informed.